From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Cremery. After 50 years of operation, Juneau's Augustus Brown Pool has closed for major renovations. City Aquatics Manager Tara Patterson described some of the upcoming improvements on Juneau Afternoon last week.
The recreation pool will be resurfaced. We're getting new electric plumbing. The locker rooms, I think, are probably the biggest piece that people will notice the most. So the locker rooms are being completely renovated.
But one part of the locker rooms will live on in a new art installation. The tiles painted in 1999 by Juneau Kids. KTOO's Katie Anastas visited the pool with one of the original tile artists and has this story.
Christy Simonson walks to the end of the women's locker room at the Augustus Brown Pool. She points to one of the hand-painted tiles on the shower wall.
So this is mine.
Simonson was working as a lifeguard in 1999. The second and third graders needed help painting tiles, so she and her sister Marta volunteered.
We went out there to help the kids come in and pick out tiles and ideas and kind of help them through it. And there were a couple extra tiles, and they said, do you guys want to paint? So my sister and I did.
Those tiles have lined the locker room showers for more than 20 years. Simonson's tile has streaks of green across a dark blue sky.
It looks like I did some northern lights on the horizon, which I still love to this day.
Her sister painted stick figures swimming in a pool lane and wrote, "I love to swim at 4:45 a.m., a nod to their early morning high school swim practices.
So there was like snow blizzards we were driving through in the pitch black, freezing cold, to come swimming in the pool for an hour before high school would start. It was just kind of a sarcastic joke because no one really loves doing that, but we love the sport and being with the team, so it was worth it.
Simonson's love of the sport started early.
I tried out for swim team when I was six, so in 1985. And basically from then until 99, I was here. It was my life.
She built a community around the teammates, coaches, coworkers, and Juneau residents who visited the pool every day. She taught swim lessons for kids. One summer, she led aerobic activity classes for seniors.
They would be in the pool, I would be on the deck, we would do a workout routine and kind of listen to some music as we went back and forth with the exercises. But it was just a great way, from a teenager's perspective, to connect with like the seniors in the community and develop a relationship.
In the remodeled lobby, high-resolution photos of the original tiles will sit alongside new art. Last month, the city asked kids to submit drawings of their favorite experiences at the pool. Simonson hopes the new generation of artists will look back fondly on their artwork and the pool like she does. She says it's kind of like a church.
Just a sanctuary for people to come and exercise and kind of let your stresses go. Or maybe, you know, if you've had a bad day, come exercise or come sit in the sauna. And it's just a place where you can bring your kids and then your kids' kids come. And it's nice.
The Augustus Brown Pool will remain closed until at least the end of the year. In the meantime, Juneau residents can swim at the Diamond Park Aquatic Center in the Mendenhall Valley. In Juneau, I'm Katie Anastas.
And visitors from all over Alaska and out of state travel to Bethel for Chamay in March. Many have family ties in the YK Delta. As Adeline Baxter reports for KYUK, one person came to share the history of reindeer herding in the region and to track down family connections.
Cherie Biddle is Yupik and Sami. That's the indigenous people of northern Scandinavia. She traveled to Chamay from Anchorage to dance, but she was also invited to share the story of her Sami heritage and the reindeer herds that brought that side of her family to the region more than a century ago.
My grandpa, Tim Twitchell, was born here. My mom is Lois Stover. She was born in Akiak, but this is my first time, so I'm always blessed when I have that opportunity to share the Sami story.
Biddle presented on the stage during Chamay wearing a traditional blue Sami dress, leather snow boots, and a red shawl and bonnet. She asked if anyone there was descended from her grandfather. She grew up mainly on Kodiak Island, far from where her mother's side of the family comes from.
It would be nice to reconnect with that side of the family.
Biddle's great-grandparents immigrated to the region from Norway in 1898 as part of the Alaska Reindeer Project, a plan to teach reindeer herding to Alaska Native people as a means of subsistence. At the time, an influx of non-Native people to Western Alaska for whaling and other industries had decimated traditional food sources like caribou. Reindeer are a domesticated relative of caribou, and they were not only a sustainable food source, but a potential economic opportunity for Alaska Native communities.
And it was a beautiful experience because it was Indigenous people from one country coming to teach our Indigenous people, and they blended well. They came from a cold, harsh climate to Alaska that can be cold and harsh in the wintertime.
The original Sami immigrants overcame starvation and difficult terrain in the early years, eventually growing the size of the herds to the point where there were more than 600,000 reindeer in Alaska by the 1920s. Still, challenges remained, including the fact that caribou would regularly absorb reindeer into their wild herds. These mixed descendants can still be seen in parts of western Alaska today. Then, a political decision abruptly brought an end to the Sami's role in the industry.
In 1937, the Reindeer Act was a law that allowed only Native people to have the reindeer, but that was a problem because they did not grandfather the Sami, who were the kind of the mentors, the trainers that really knew how to manage large herds of reindeer.
Today, very few descendants of the original Sami herders remain in Alaska.
Some went back to Norway after the Reindeer Act when they could not herd anymore. They were allowed to herd if they married an Alaska Native person. And that's kind of the love story of how my grandpa and grandma met.
Timothy Twitchell, who was part Yupik, married Anna Speen, the daughter of Sami reindeer herders. It took a long time for Biddle to reconnect with her Sami roots. A 2008 trip to Norway with other descendants of the original group allowed her to meet family still in the homeland of the Sami and learn more about the culture.
It's important, I think, for everybody to know who you are. Know who you are culturally, and that you have something important to share with the world and to be proud of.
What about Biddle's other goal? Did she reconnect with family members in Bethel? By the final day of Chamai, she said she'd been introduced to three people related to her grandfather and had spoken to more on the phone. In Bethel, I'm Adeline Baxter.
A group of University of Alaska graduate student workers trying to form a union marched on the campus Friday. They're following a nationwide trend of student workers organizing. KUAC's Robin reports.
Hey, grad students!
The Alaska Labor Relations Agency received a petition from the Alaska Graduate Workers Association in February. The group proposes to represent 530 UA System graduate student workers who are paid a stipend or a teaching assistant wage. Association steering committee member Derek Arnold says they recently sent cards to all prospective union members to gauge their interest.
We recently got our card count, so that was the first step, was to get our card count, a showing of interest. We got the showing of interest done. It's been certified by the ALRA, the Alaska Labor Relations Agency, and the university has now notified everyone who is in that unit, which was anyone who's both a graduate student and a university employee.
Compensation and health care are top issues for the union. Another Alaska Graduate Workers Association member, Victor Devo-Shupin, says unionization is a way to attract more talent, especially to the mother campus.
The UAF, it has an international renown for the science it does. It's literally in the interest of everybody for this to happen, because you have happy grad students, you have good publicity, and it's hard to convince grad students to come here, because Fairbanks is already a harsh place. What makes the core Fairbanks is the people and the relationship that we have.
The unit would be part of the UAW, the United Auto Workers Union. They now represent about 19,000 student workers across the country. Arnold says this local unit is part of that nationwide trend.
We're actually the only R1, R2 research institution on the West Coast that doesn't have a graduate student union, so I think in that regard we're quite a ways behind.
Arnold says one of the things the association wants most for graduate students is participation in policy.
We want to be part of the process. You know, we want to have a voice in decisions that are made. And currently we can, you know, people can get worked up. We can have a lot of people put in a lot of effort to try to get a problem addressed. But number one, it's optional, you know, they don't have to listen to us. And number two, that's a lot of responsibility to put on grad students. And this makes it so we are iteratively part of the process all the time.
The next step is a two-week period where the university can object to the unionization. If there is no objection from the UA administration, the association will hold a vote to unionize. If a union is certified, it can begin negotiations with the university for a contract. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
As for the weather, it's 34 degrees and snowing just a little bit. You're listening to KTOO.